Thank you. Please be seated. Well, it's wonderful to see your faces, and it's truly an awesome privilege to stand before this podium. And last time I taught here, I think I cried, and Willie said, I hope you don't cry this time, and I really hadn't intended that either. But, you know, it is an awesome privilege anytime we speak God's Word. And I actually have to... I don't have to confess this, but I worked very hard on this teaching to the point where I was so frustrated because I know how important it is that we encourage each other and we share God's Word and that we do what the Word says and convey it to a point where you can receive it and walk out on it. It's not just so that I can look good and get up here and be on a CD or something like that. It's not all about that. It's about what our... communicating what our Heavenly Father has said in His Word so that it can live in your hearts. It's an awesome privilege, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'd like to also thank you all for being here. And I want to say hi to everyone on the CDs and our children, and just what an awesome privilege it is to know God's Word. So, the topic I'm going to share today is on trusting God, walking with God. My husband was so cute. He worked with me this morning because I was still so frustrated. And when he left, he said, I want to tell you two things. Trust God and take your rollers out. Couldn't get... he's just so awesome. I never know what words of wisdom are going to come out. So I love you very much. Believing is a vital part of our walk as a Christian. That's why the Word calls us believers. We are to trust and rely on God implicitly. And that song, Believing is the Key to Heaven, is just a tremendous song because it is our life. We are different from people in the world because they rely on their five senses. But we have a word from the author of life who we've never seen. It's printed here. We don't know who actually printed this. There's a lot of things that we don't see with our five senses, yet we are totally convinced of it. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back. He could come back any moment. And we are convinced of that. No, I don't think there's anyone that could steal that thought from you, could it? Could they? We are totally convinced. We need to be totally convinced of every single word in this word. If it says that I'm more than a conqueror, we need to be totally convinced of that. If it says that I am the Lord that healeth thee, I'm going to be totally convinced of that. But how do we get believing? By hearing the Word of God. And let's look at let's start with Hebrews chapter 4. I've already done things I didn't think I was going to do, so... praise God. It's working within us. We need to elevate the word. I was so blessed when Michelle shared how she had a need, and she knew that the only way that her body could be healed is if she stood confidently and she ate that word day in and day out, confessed it, told her body, you're healed. Sometimes it takes more than a day or two, but that's that confidence. You know, we've been waiting, you know, I've been in the Word maybe 30 years. I've been waiting for hope of Christ's return. I've been confessing and believing that promise. He has to come. Look at all the people before us, thousands of years now. And, 2,000 since Jesus Christ came and he had to leave and come back. But it's been that long, and we're still standing on it. Isn't that awesome? But we've got to get every word of God's Word that convinced in our lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And believing comes from the heart. We've got to hold that word, teach that word to our hearts, hold on to it, and then what comes out of our heart is the issues of life, and that's what's... if we keep feeding our heart the word, then we're going to receive that. That's going to be just as easy as same boo, you know, whatever. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. How did we become a Christian? How did we get saved? We believe God's word. You know, we didn't have to do any big exercise, any holy water, anything else. We just believe God's word. We heard. You have to hear to believe. And it's not osmosis. It's not God telling Shakti, you are my child, and you're going to be saved because I'm calling certain people. I'm a respecter of persons. I'm going to figure out how to get you there. It's freedom of will. Everything that we do, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are all by freedom of will. Everything that God has given us is by our freedom of will. It probably would have been easier if he would have made us robots or something like that. And it would be easier for him. He probably wouldn't be so frustrated sometimes. But, you know, he's so loving. He's so loving. He doesn't even see the mistakes we make. He does. He looks at us as white as perfect people. And we are as we walk on God's word. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith or believing, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, we heard God's word. We believed it. To believe it, you've got to confess it and walk out on it. We confess God's word. We confess that Jesus is Lord. And we believe that God raised him from the dead. Then we became saved. We had to have the word. Someone told us the word. Now, we didn't have to know every ounce of the Bible, every bit of the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people that have read the Bible from cover to cover and don't believe a word of it. I can't say I've read it from cover to cover. And yet, what I do believe, what I do have read, I am convinced that I'm believing it and I'm working on it. You're going to have more profit in believing what you've read than trying to catch up with everyone else that's read them all and says, I finished the Bible. There's no profit in that because it's not mixed with believing. The word has to be mixed with believing. And you have to, the big thing, like Michelle said, she confessed the word. Confessed to her body, told her body that you are healed. We need to confess to our minds. Mind, this word is true. The word says, I am more than a conqueror. It says that God wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Is that written to you? Sure. So, do you want to believe it? How do you believe it? Claim it. Walk out on it. Confess it. You know, when you have a problem, confess it. My God has provided that for me. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has paid the price. When we got born again, we received that new birth, that new creation. We have that Holy Spirit within us. We have a whole package. You look at a brand new baby, they have that whole package right there. It's not like their ears grow late or anything. It's not like we get more spirit after we get born again. It's all together, one. It's us finding out all the little details of that operation of that spirit within us. Finding out what God's love is, how tremendous his love is. You know, we're still that same body, but yet our minds are renewed with God's word as we walk out on it, as we believe it. I'm no more spiritual than anyone else. Jesus Christ was more spiritual than we've got Christ in us. You know, he couldn't lead someone into the new birth. It says that greater works shall you do than he did. Greater works. And look at what the works of Jesus Christ were. He destroyed the works of the devil. So why we don't want to see the devil take any command over our lives. You just don't allow him. If a pain comes, you say, get out. You have no right here. And we've got to talk to ourselves. We've got to convince ourselves by our confession that we believe God's word. It's kind of neat, isn't it? It's very exciting. Yesterday, we operated the manifestations of speaking in tongues with interpretation prophecy. And a couple of people hadn't done that. And afterwards, one gentleman said, he was kind of, whoa. I go, well, you did great. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, this is just really wild. I go, yeah, because it's supernatural. He says, it isn't in the five senses. We can't really figure it out. How can you just all of a sudden open your mouth and a word comes from God? Inspiration from God comes. Because you believe it. That's how God's word works. Isn't that fantastic? It's not something that I've got to go to a college and figure out, learn every little thing, every little Greek word, every little thing from history, from time began, so that I can understand this. It says even a child shouldn't err by understand by believing God's word. But how do we believe? By hearing. We've got to continue to absorb God's word in our hearts. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. A great example of a tremendous believer and who is called the father of believing was Abraham. In this Romans chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, or believing, giving glory to God. Now Abraham, at 75 years old, was called of God, and God wanted him, told him that he was going to be a father of many nations. And it says in the text that at that time, Sarah was barren. So great. He's going to be a father of many nations. He's married to a woman who can't conceive. So what did Abraham do? Well, for 25 years, it says at 100 years old, they conceived. Sarah had a child. So for 25 years, he had to stay faithful on the word. It says that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He didn't look at the circumstances around him. Okay, how can we have a child if Sarah can't conceive? Now, she's 10 years younger than him. So when he was 75, she was 65. So from that time on, he probably said, okay, Sarah, this week, let's try and have this child. And then gave her maybe stretch. The fuzzy thing. So for 25 years, they had to work with each other to be convinced that they were going to have a child. Now, if he was 100 years old, then Sarah was 90 years old. Now, that's a long time to keep waiting and waiting. And they had to work with each other. He had to say, okay, Sarah, what are we going to, if God says we're going to be a father of many nations, what are we going to, let's build our believing. What are we going to name all these children? Let's start thinking of all these names. They staggered not at the promise of God. They had to work with each other. We have to work with our minds. If God's word says, if he commits something to us, we have to work with us to the point where we just stand faithful. And it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. In the Working Translation, I wanted to read this on verse 19. It says, not being weak in the right way of believing, he observed his own body being deadened in the deadness of Sarah's womb when he was about 100 years old. Now, they were very aware. We're old, and he's deadened, but her womb was dead. And actually, after Sarah died, Abraham had another wife, and he had more children. when he died at 175 years old. But against odds, they believed what God said. And he became the father of believing, and we believe because of the actions of Abraham. We have that example. And Jesus Christ came from that line. If Abraham and Sarah hadn't continued to stay faithful to what God promised, we wouldn't be here today. So, and think about it, if we don't stay faithful to God's word, there's going to be people that aren't going to be able to come to God someday. There's certain people that we reach, and we need to stay faithful. And we need to see the word living in our lives. We need to see the promises come to pass in our lives. It says, but he did not doubt the promise of God in unbelief. Instead, he was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, has promised, he was able also to do. And that's what we need, to be convinced that God is able to do what he says he's going to do. It is the word of truth. So sometimes when we have opportunities, the most important thing about believing is we don't look at the five senses. We have to look at God's word and trust that God's word is true, and he will carry out what he said he will do. We are convinced. You know, there's a lot of things we're convinced in the world. We have these little plastic things, ATM cards, and you can put it in any machine around the world, and they can even tell you what your balance is. But the thing that activates it is your password. Now, I can have this card, and I can go to a machine. If I don't put it into the machine, and if I don't put in my code, you know, there's a camera there, and you can say, well, yeah, my picture. Well, there's certain regulations on how to use it. You've got to put that code that gives the authority to that machine, that bank, that you're going to draw those funds out. Well, God has given us promises, and we have to use the authority of what we've been given. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim so much healing and deliverance. But if you don't use it, you're not going to benefit from it. I could have this card, and I could use it to be a bookmark or something. Yeah, that would be great. But is it using the full potential of what it is? And, you know, these cards are cool because they can take money out of your bank. They can't put money in. But, you know, God can. You know, if you have a need, he says that he wants to prosper us and be... Beloved, I wish above all things that we prosper and be in health. Well, if he promises it, you start claiming it. You give what he requires of you, and he's going to take care of you. You know, you never know. Maybe somehow, I've never seen a bank do it yet, but maybe they just all of a sudden throw $1,000 in your account and didn't know where it was coming from, and they deny, well, it's yours. I think they did that on Friends one time. But anyways, God will make a way. If you have a need, he's going to make a way. But if we stand confident on his word, it will come to pass. Job was another man who the adversary afflicted him, but he became steadfast on, I'm not going to deny God. He said that he esteemed God's word more than his necessary food. How much do we esteem God's word? And we have to look at that in our hearts. Do we walk confidently and boldly and receive all that our Heavenly Father has for us? Or do we think, well, you know, that paycheck really isn't going to provide enough. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, start giving a little bit, and God will multiply that paycheck. God's going to provide for you if you ask him to, but he sure can't do it if you don't ask him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:1 says, now believing is the title deed, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's believing something before it's seen. Now, we have the tendency to believe, or to see and then believe. But God asks us the opposite, because he can do anything. He created the heavens and the earth. Do you think he could help you with a little thing that you have? So all he requires is us to believe it. Look in verse 6, it says, but without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All he's requiring for us to believe. And is he making it difficult for us? It says that his promises are not grievous, his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to handle. He's made us so available. He's called us to be his children. He could have made us his servants. He could have made us, you know, these lowly people, and that I hit him with a ball bat or something. You know, some people believe that God's just waiting for you to make a mistake. No, he's a heavenly father, and we wouldn't do that. We don't do that to our children. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them blessed. That's exactly what our heavenly father wants of us. Jesus Christ was the author and finisher of believing. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, well, let's look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and we have all these people in Hebrews 11 that stood faithful to the word. And, you know, what's incredible is we have this word of God. They didn't even have it. They just had a few examples. They had the stars. They had people, prophets, and teaching them the word. We have everything from Genesis to Revelation. What all happened? And then more that we're not even going to be around for. So it's just amazing. So we have these witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. We need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of believing. And what did he do for us? He gave his life. He fulfilled the law that we could have that complete relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we could have Holy Spirit, that we could have Christ in us. My gosh. He gave his life, and then now we have that authority. He's our power of attorney. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and we get the answers to our prayers. Incredible. Let's look just a couple things. Jesus Christ, his whole life is about ministering and serving, doing the will of the Father. But let's look at a couple accounts where people believed. In Mark chapter 5. You know, this is a huge subject. And it's a lifetime subject, learning to be faithful to the word and to feed our minds on the word. I don't think we'll ever have too much of the word. We only have too much of the word when we don't release it. I think you can get pretty stale after a while if you just keep feeding and feeding. It's part of the laws of nature. What you feed, you got to release. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It's a great account of healing, and healing all comes through believing. You have to believe to receive. In verse 21 says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh into the sea. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And here was a ruler, and he saw Jesus, knew Jesus' authority. He fell at his feet. He had great humility. And that's what it takes to believe, too, is to have humility. Know that you need help. You know, probably the greatest word we can ever say to God is, help. Help me. You know, and he knows what's going on, so at least, but we got to release something. So if you can't, if your mind is so crazy, just say, help. He'll be there. And beside him greatly saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she shall be healed. She may be healed, and she... I'm sorry. Let me read that again. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. You think he believed? Yeah, he just confessed it. Part of believing is confessing the word. And he took action on it. He went to Jesus, the healer. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Then she, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Here Jesus is in a throng of people all over. He's on his way to Jairus' house to heal his little daughter. And then this woman gets in there. She said, well, you know, she heard of Jesus, and she believed that if she just touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She confessed, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be whole. What action did she take? She touched. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now his disciples, they're great people. His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched thee? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knoweth what was done in her, and came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. What humility she had. What tremendous, for 12 years she suffered with this. She went, she took action. She went to doctors. She spent all of her money. And she still continued to seek her healing. And she confessed, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubles the master any further? Okay, well, now this is tough. Five senses are, he's going to heal. He knows the father confesses that Jesus can heal her. Here comes someone saying, well, don't bother him. She's already dead. And soon as Jesus heard that the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. See, we can't trust our five senses. Sarah was barren. They trusted God for 25 years and they had a baby. It was God's will and purpose. Now, God doesn't make anyone barren. God doesn't make anyone sick, and he doesn't decide, okay, you deserve to be healed. It's in God's word. When we believe, when we take the promises of God's word, we believe it, walk out on it, claim the authority of the word, we receive. Now, a big thing is perseverance. So, and isn't that great? It's awesome. It's all here. We just need to spend time digesting it, making it our necessary food, esteem it more than our necessary food. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him. Well, let's go on to verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why makest ye this ado, and why weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Okay, and you're always going to find people like this in the next one. And they laughed him to scorn. Oh, come on. What do you mean she's not dead? I'd see her. There's no blood in her. Her face is white. She's gone. Well, Lazarus was gone 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. You know, nothing is impossible with God. And when he's claimed, and when he's put it in he's written his word, he has magnified his word above his name. He's placed the authority of the word, his name, on this word. When you write a check, you give the authority to have those funds released. We have to use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ to defeat the adversary. Jesus Christ defeated the adversary. We have to claim what's rightfully ours, bring back what's ours. Because he's going to say, well, you don't deserve it. He's going to put doubt. Peter wanted to walk on water. He saw Jesus walking. Jesus said, come on. He did great. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I just all of a sudden saw that wind coming up. The wind was there when he started walking, but he looked, took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the circumstances. And we can't afford to do that. We want to really see the power of God live in our life. And the more we see the power of God live in our lives, what a tremendous testimony to those who want to believe. Because faith, when we share the word, they see the power of God, they're going to want to hear. You know, we're not going to have room in this place to hold all the people as we confess the word, as we prove God's word and walk out on it. It's just fantastic. So they laughed him to scorn, and he said, get out of here. We don't need you guys. And he took, verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given for her to eat. You know, what a loving Lord we have. This little girl, she died, and next thing he says, well, you know, fix her something to eat. You know, just great. Don't allow the fear. He told the father, be not afraid, only believe. God's word continues to give us that encouragement. And you know, in the when we receive Holy Spirit, there's 9 manifestations, and one of them is gifts of healing. And healing is available to us right now. He sent his word and healed us. By his stripes we were healed. Well, you work with your body, you work with your mind. And when when you need help, go to someone that excels in the manifestation of working of gifts of healing. Ask someone to pray for you. Now, you've got to make that effort. We need to see the power of God live in our lives. So it's just awesome. Now, we have so many examples of people that stood faithful to the word. God is a faithful God. Abraham, beyond all that was evident in the flesh, for 25 years, claimed the promise of God. Believed that God said what he meant, and he and his wife, they had to agree. They took 2 to tangle, 2 to make that child, and they had that baby, and we are a result of that. Jesus Christ is a result of that, that faithfulness. Job, he confessed, he made God's word as more, he esteemed his word more than his necessary food. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. Nothing was of his own. He did everything that God told him to do. And it was God's will for him to preach, teach, and deliver. And that's and today, because we're born again, we have that Holy Spirit that we can teach, preach, and deliver. We can use the name of Jesus Christ. We have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ to lead those that are captive free. And as we just stay faithful to God's word, we will see signs, miracles, and healings, and we'll just testify that God is of a truth and his word is true. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.
I'll take this.